This time of the year is a time of transitions. I'm always reminded of that as I'm walking around posts and see the moving vans coming and going, preparing to move families to their next duty location. I'm also made aware of this season, this time of transitions, when I speak with students who are wrapping up things at their school and preparing to go to college or preparing to enter into a profession or just have a fun time this summer. It's very interesting to watch people in this time of transition because although people are still here physically, mentally, they are far, far away, both geographically and temporally, hundreds or thousands of miles away and thinking many weeks or months in advance. I see this with families when the service members finishing their clearing paperwork or finishing exams or finishing evaluations, wrapping up things here. Mentally, they're already in their new job. They're thinking about what their boss is going to be like, what their responsibilities will be. They're thinking of things like, where are they going to live? On post or off post? What schools are their kids going to go to? What are they going to be doing for vacation between now and when they report? They are far, far away from here. I see this especially with students, especially with graduating high school seniors. I mean, even though they're wrapping up finals right now, they're already off in college, mentally. They're already thinking of what they're going to be, where they're going to be studying, what they're going to be studying. And if they're not entering college, they're going to be thinking about the profession that they want to enter into. Or it may be more short term than that. They may be thinking about what they want to do this summer. Mentally, they're not in school anymore. It's also a time of a spiritual transition for us. As we celebrate Ascension Sunday, we remember Jesus who endured his passion, crucified, died on the cross, was buried, he rose from the dead, and today we remember him ascending into heaven. And as Jesus ascends into heaven, before he does this, he promises several things to his followers. One of the most important things he promises to his apostles and to us is that he's not going to leave us orphaned. He's not going to leave us alone. He's going to remain with us. And one of the most important ways in which he's going to make that promise to remain with us, we're going to celebrate next Sunday at Pentecost. He'll send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, to be our counselor, to be with us, so that the presence of God can always be with us. And he also fulfills that promise of always being with us by instituting the church before he leaves this earth. The church is the mystical body of Christ. And as St. Paul reminds us in some of his letters, each and every one of us has a very important and unique and very special role as a member of the body of Christ. And it's something different from everybody else. We are all members of this mystical body of Christ. But the head of this mystical body, Jesus Christ, he's in heaven already, while we, the members of his body, are still on earth. And so we're in this period of transition. Although in some ways we're already in heaven because that's where Christ, the head of the mystical body of which we are members of, although the head of this body is already in heaven, we're still on this earth. We still must strive to bring about the kingdom of God in this world. And this is something which I think is very difficult for most people to do. You know, we have to remember that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. We do not belong to this world any more than Jesus Christ did. And sometimes we have to place reminders in our life that we do not belong to this world, that this world is not our home. It's simply passing away. Some of the reminders I place in my life, I like to use very practical reminders. One of the things which I may have told you about before, if I was to write a check to you from my bank, underneath my name, where your address and your phone number normally go, you're not going to find my address. You're not going to find my phone number. Well, you are going to find right under my name, big, bold, capitalized letters, are these words. And I'm not joking. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. That's right under my name on my check. And right under that are two scripture references. One is to Matthew, when Jesus says you cannot serve both God and mammon. And the other one is a reference to St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior. So that's a reminder to me, whenever I write a check, it's a reminder to me that my home is not here. This money that I have in my bank account, it's not mine. It's not mine. And someday all this is going to go away. So it's a reminder to me, and it may even be a reminder to the people whom I write checks to. They may say, what is this crazy stuff here? They may actually look up those scripture references and put two and two together. Now, some of you have asked me before where my home is. You probably remember my response. Well, my home diocese is Spokane, Washington. They'll say, well, where's your home? It's not on this planet. It's not on this planet. After the death of my parents 9 years ago, I stopped calling any place on this planet my home. My home is in heaven. My citizenship is in heaven, as St. Paul reminds us. And so that's one way in which I remember that God is calling me to place my heart and my mind in heaven already. Even though this body is still on earth, my true home is in heaven. And St. Augustine says in a very beautiful homily, which he wrote about 1,400 years ago, this homily which we read in the Office of Readings this morning, he says, let us strive to be at the side of Christ in heaven. Let us strive to already be there through the virtues, the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. If you think about those, what those virtues mean, what they symbolize, and what they do in our life, those virtues which you first received at the sacrament of holy baptism, faith, hope, and love. That's how we can place our mind, that's how we can place our heart in heaven, even though we're still living out life here on this earth. Once again, it's something not easy for us to do, but we need these, I think we need these reminders. So for me, it's changing the address and the phone number on the check. But also, I also like to learn about some of the great saints. If you look at who the saints are men and women who are able to do just what St. Augustine was asking us to strive to do, what the scriptures are asking us to do, to place our mind, to place our heart in heaven right now, with Christ right now. Even though this body is here in this temporal passing world, our mind and our heart can be in heaven right now. And that's what these men and women, the saints of the church, did. Any of them. You just read about any one of the saints' lives, and you can find that this is exactly what they did. They were able to bring about incredible things in this world, to build up God's kingdom in this world, precisely because their mind and their heart was already in heaven. And it's really freeing when you do that. One of my favorite saints is a saint whom we celebrated this past Monday, May 10th, Saint Damian of Molokai. An incredible saint, a relatively recent saint. He was a priest originally from Belgium, went to Honolulu. He was ordained there, and he was a missionary priest. And at one point on the island of Oahu, the bishop was asking the priests for volunteers to go out to the colony, the leper colony on the island of Molokai. See, in the mid-1800s, when Father Damien was on Honolulu, there is no cure for leprosy. There is no cure for leprosy. Even today, there is no cure for leprosy. There's a politically correct term for leprosy now. It's called Hansen's disease. I'm not sure why, but it's called Hansen's disease. But even today, there is no cure for this illness. We can treat symptoms, but we cannot cure it. Well, in Father Damien's time, medical resources were very limited on the Hawaiian Islands, so they could barely even treat symptoms. So what they simply did, the medical and the governing authorities simply rounded up those with leprosy and isolated them on this northern, on a peninsula, a very small peninsula on the northern island of, on the northern side of the island of Molokai. They just simply isolated the lepers. They sent them there. It was basically a one-way trip. If you had leprosy and you're going to Molokai, you're never coming back. You're never coming back. Once you step off that boat, and if you didn't want to step off the boat, they would push you off the boat if you had leprosy, literally. You can never get back on the boat. That was it. That was where you're living for the rest of your natural life at that colony. So it was a big mental step, big mental adjustment. If you stepped off that boat, that was it. One-way trip. So the bishop is asking for priests to volunteer to go out here, and Father Damien volunteered. Initially, he was asked to volunteer for 3 or 4 months, but I honestly believe in his heart that Father Damien knew this was a one-way trip for him too. I think he honestly believed he was going to contract leprosy and die there on Molokai, which he did. He did. But he still volunteered, and he still stepped off the boat onto the island. And I think he was able to do this because his heart and his mind were in heaven. His heart and mind were already with Christ, the head of the mystical body, in heaven. And that freed him up to be free from worry, free from anxiety, free from fear. And he was able to do amazing things on that island of Molokai. Many of the things which happened on Molokai were recorded by a doctor there, an American physician. And these accounts of what Father Damien was doing were being sent to newspapers and published in newspapers throughout Europe and even sometimes in the United States. And so it really brought attention to what Father Damien was doing. And one of the accounts which was published in a paper spoke of when Father Damien had asked for a priest to come out to the island of Molokai so he could have a priest hear his confession, because he's isolated out there. You know, he can't just drive to the next parish down the street. No, he had to request a priest to come. It was very difficult for any priest to volunteer, but eventually a priest, who might have even been the bishop, went out on a boat to Molokai. And for one reason or another, we don't know exactly why the priest or the bishop didn't get off the boat. We don't know if it was out of fear, or maybe it was because some accounts say that was the captain and the crew of the boat said, "You're not getting off this boat. Because if you step foot on that island, you're not getting back on my boat. You're going to be considered unclean. So you're not getting off this boat." So Father Damien was either the boat was in dock and Father Damien was on the dock, or some accounts say the boat was in port because the waves are too strong for the boat to come to the dock. And maybe Father Damien went out on a rowboat and he shouted up his confession to this priest in French, probably in French, so nobody else could understand what he is saying. You know, the story of Father Damien and this particular story of his confession, it's, I think for me, it's absolutely amazing, because we know the name of the saint, of the priest who got off the boat. He's a saint now, canonized relatively recently. It's Father Damien. We don't know the name of the priest who didn't get off the boat. We don't know his name. The great saints in heaven, we know their names because they're able to place their heart and their mind in heaven, to live with Christ in heaven right now. And that freed them up to do amazing things in this world. 2 weeks ago, towards the end of the homily, I encouraged you to not be afraid. said, if God is your God, he's my God, I hope he's your God too. I said, if God is your God, you have nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. There's no force, there's no person, there's no institution, there's no organization, there's no government. Nothing is more powerful than God. So if you are a member of the mystical body of Christ, and Christ is your head, and you are his disciple, you really have nothing to be afraid of. When you place your heart and your mind in heaven, you have nothing to be afraid of. So this week, I would like to encourage you with these words. Get off the boat. Get off the boat. Place your heart and your mind in heaven. And be free of the worldly concerns, the worldly anxieties, and the worldly fear which the majority of the world is living in. And every day, I hear accounts of how people have lost their ability to reason because fear has so infiltrated their heart and their mind, they're just being driven by it. And they can't see 5 feet in front of them in a spiritual sense. Do not allow that to happen to you. So many people right now, they're leaving the sacraments of the church. They're leaving our beloved faith out of fear. And that's a very scary thing for me as a priest to see that happen. So this week, I would encourage you to place your heart and your mind in heaven with the head of the mystical body, Jesus Christ. You are a member of his body. And so because of that, in many ways, although we're still here on this earth, we are already in heaven. Get off the boat. Praise be Jesus Christ.